Heaven High.
Heaven High, and welcome to the
Weekly.
Where I visit John personally, Rum Doings Podcast 261. You can message us at Rum Doings or send an email to podcast@rumdoings.com. How you been doing these last few days?
Me too. And you?
Oh, so have I been, yes.
Good.
What's the topic?
The topic today is, those peddling the slur that Labour is institutionally racist should remember when the fascists march into your town, it will be Labour supporters who turn up to drive them out. That's the topic.
And that topic, probably for the first time, wasn't actually invented by us. Somebody very kindly tweeted that
someone
topic.
Someone sent it in to the planet Earth, where I...
Yes. Wonderful. So I heard that you went to Canada.
A very long time ago, when you were a little boy.
Why did you go to Canada?
Because it has affordable skyscrapers.
Really?
Yes.
Well, so does Johannesburg.
That's true. We should have gone there.
Yes.
I'd really like to go to Johannesburg. I was speaking to some developers from off of there a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
And they were singing its praises. And also pointing out that they have to work without electricity some days.
It's a funny old place, isn't it?
It is an odd location.
I mean, I think of it fondly sometimes, and also realise that sometimes there'd be no electricity, and at other times I might be raped or killed. So, but generally, it's an interesting location.
Certainly, but we went to Toronto.
Oh, that's similar to Johannesburg in many ways, I think.
They have more persistent electricity, but otherwise it's the same.
Mm.
And we stayed on the 38th floor of a skyscraper.
Why did you go to Toronto, as it's properly called, by the way?
Okay. Because I don't know, really. I don't know if I have a good answer. We had never been, and it looked like a nice city to visit with a kid, and it was. So we were right.
I would never have thought of going... I mean, I've been there, but I've never thought of going there just for a holiday with a kid.
No, nor me. I genuinely don't remember how we settled on it.
How did you fly there? Which airline?
I was going to say in an aeroplane. It was going to be hilarious.
I headed you off at that particular pass.
You did. We flew with Air Canada.
And what did it feel Canadian? Were you drenched in maple syrup as the emergency announcements came on?
We were. It was a very bland flight, but not nearly as bland as the United flight back.
Oh, United Airlines is kind of a definition of bland, but there is one thing.
They didn't beat me up in the aisle, so there was a little bonus treat.
There is one thing that I think I personally, although it's irrelevant to you, but I personally would allow United Airlines a lot of exculpation for, and that is they have on their entertainment system a from the flight deck option, where you can listen in to what the pilots are saying to air traffic control.
Ooh, I didn't know that. I did send you a photograph of the in-flight entertainment system from the olden days.
I bet you it wasn't. I remember originally when I flew on South African Airlines in the early 80s, the headphone sockets were, there was a little speaker on a tiny little speaker the size of a headphone jack on the arm, and then you plugged a tube into that jack, and the rubber tube ducted the sound to your ears.
That's fantastic.
I wonder if anybody else remembers those sorts of headphones. Anybody who does, please tweet us or send us an email, because I want to hope that that wasn't some weird fever imagination of mine.
The earliest headphone aeroplane memory I have is when they had two little prongs.
Oh, yes.
You had to plug into both holes to stop you just riding in with your own headphones like some pirate and stealing the noise.
Well, yeah, I think really that's to stop you from stealing their
own. Oh, that's true.
Yes. There you go. I've ruined the joke.
You have. But that's probably... No, but I've learned something, and that's important.
That is important. It is important. Talk about learning something. I mean, Robert Morgan did say a few years ago that he would bet a large amount of money that Boris Johnson would never be Prime Minister.
He did.
Should have taken him up on that.
I love the way we still persist in referring to Robert Morgan as if he's a famous person rather than a guy that you know.
I should have taken him up on that, shouldn't I have?
Yes, have you should have.
I should have, because... I can't believe I'm saying this, but we are going to have Prime Minister Boris Johnson at a summit with President Donald Trump.
But as somebody said on the Twitter yesterday, it will be lovely when people, when journalists then read out things Boris Johnson has said about Trump in front of them both, and it just breaks into a complete fist fight.
Oh, no, it won't, because that'll just be fake news.
That's true, I suppose.
Anything that's inconvenient becomes fake news and goes away. From both sides. I mean, there's been a lot of fake news about Jeremy Corbyn and his support of neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, and gay bashers, for example. That's all just fake news. It's a smear. It's a desperate smear. And if you call it that, then the fact that it's true doesn't matter. You see?
People don't want, because obviously what Jeremy Corbyn wants to do is make everyone's lives better. And yes. So, obviously, most people don't want their life to get better, and that's why they're inventing all these conspiracies against him.
I think that the reason that they are saying and lying that he believes in these weird anti-Jewish conspiracies is because a bunch of Jews control the world, like yes. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion said, and yes. He's the only person who's going to save us from them, and he is being thwarted by these evil menaces.
They are constantly trying to make him look like an anti-Semite, aren't they?
They are, which is what you'd expect from the bunch of global neocon Jews thoughts, isn't it?
Yes.
To be honest, the actual arguments made aren't a million miles away from that reductive and absurd, sadly, which is amusing. I wonder, as I said earlier on today elsewhere, his clear dalliance with a very, very long strain of leftist anti-Semitism that conflates Jews with global capitalism and so on is not the thing that disappoints me most. It's that it is a symptom of something deeper, and that is his profound political incompetence and naivety. Because what we need right now is a very strong left-leaning Labour leader who can deal with the unbelievable hell that we are currently swilling around in. Yeah, that I find more worrying than the fact. Okay, yeah, so he's a racist dallier who has unpleasant attitudes and surrounds himself with neo-Nazis and worse. And yes, I did say worse than neo-Nazis. and therefore, that's what's so sad. It's that it reveals the incompetence. If you look at the complete shower that's going on inside the Labour Party with regard to the Panorama thing last night, their inability to respond like humans to it, and you think, if this is what they do when they're in opposition, what the hell will they do when they have real problems to solve in power? You know, that's what's scary about this. They are showing their utter, unbelievable systemic incompetence and corruption, and they haven't even got the keys to the door yet.
But then you would say that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. But that's what I wonder about these people who are still dyed-in-the-wood Corbynites. Have they not noticed how Jeremy Corbyn has had dozens of opportunities to bring down a Tory government? He's had dozens of opportunities to stop Brexit from happening, and each time he has propped up that Tory government and has ensured that Brexit continues. It is precisely and utterly because of Jeremy Corbyn that we are now going to get Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Call him by his name, Bojo.
Because of that, I don't understand how even those who have given him the benefit of the doubt, and even those, let's assume that you really don't give a damn about the allegations about his racist alliances, or you think that's a smear, whatever. Let's concede all that. Doesn't his utter incompetence and the fact that he's propped up the most incompetent Tory government since Chamberlain give anyone pause? Well, yes, they do. And I suppose that's why Labour is at one of its lowest ratings for a very, very long time indeed. But those who still remain fascinate me.
Absolutely. But don't forget, to them, it's all four-dimensional chess. It's all...
Still, yeah. I know earlier, they still believe that.
Yep, of course. So the reason that Corbyn... There was always a reason why he wasn't standing up to Brexit or whatever. He's biding his time. This isn't the right moment now to do it. Now would just give the Tories more... There's always a rationale, no matter how delusional or just plain silly. There's always a rationale behind it, so...
It's interesting. I mean, like any other protestation of faith or superstition, I always try to get a falsification criterion out of these people. So I said, okay, what would it take for him to do that would finally get you to say, okay, he is incompetent or he is malign? You know, what would the line in the sand be? And it's very difficult for them even to hypothetically to state that, which means that it's not a, their support of him isn't rational.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad. Is Brexit going to happen?
No.
Okay, good. So what's going to happen by October when there still isn't a deal?
People will be just confused why Boris Johnson isn't resigning.
Right. That's and what will happen. He say?
And he'll say,
I'm a charming chap who likes to paint buses. Hee hee hee. Is that
exactly,
what he'll do?
Yes, that's what he'll say. Because there's no rules anymore. Theresa May didn't resign when she couldn't do it. And didn't resign and didn't resign and didn't resign. And still hasn't resigned, by the way. Don't know if you noticed, she's still the Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
Don't know if you have noticed, because no one has noticed her.
No.
Did Private Eye have a nice joke this issue about, you know, the dreadful Curtis film Yesterday?
Oh, yes. What a wasted opportunity.
So theirs is Yestermay, which is when everyone will have forgotten the existence of Theresa May in the future next week.
That's better than the whole film.
Exactly.
You know, Yesterday is so terrible that I'm going on a flight next week.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have nothing else to do and it's the only film that's available, I'll just stare out the window.
I watched Notting Hill on a plane once. And that was when I swore my life oath to never watch anything Richard Curtis touches ever again.
Very good. I watched Crazy Rich Asians on a plane.
I've still not seen it. That's supposed to be very good.
I really enjoyed it. It was very interesting to just see intra-Asian mores and communication and slight racism and all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting and fun, and it just shows you that we don't actually get enough portrayal of Asians as real people.
What do you mean? There's every other day the BBC afternoon drama is a story about a really upset Asian person.
When I say Asian, I mean Far East Asian, John.
I see. You don't accept Indian people to exist, do you?
No, I'm talking about Far East Asians, and that's very specific. I mean, in this country, I think that they get a very raw end of the deal.
Well, it's very much like in this country, Asian defaults to Indian, Pakistani, that region. In yes. America, it's the opposite. It's the other end.
Yes. But I think it's...
that's by population, because our second biggest population is West Asian in this country.
But also, when we see Asians represented on movies, usually it's something to do with, you know, it'll be a Kung Fu, Jackie Chan sort of thing, or a comedy nerd sort or something that. It's very, very rare that one gets to see them as just, you know, like people. I know you don't believe they're people, but, you know, like we could pretend they are.
Look. You, but once again, you misrepresent my views.
Oh, I must talking of Asians, my colleague Yasmin's partner got very badly injured after a brawl, which he tried to intervene in and stop, and his head broke.
Ugh.
And he is the listener, so that's why we haven't recorded. Now that he's probably able to listen again, we should probably welcome him back to the land of the living.
Congratulations on having a functioning head.
Imagine your head breaks like Humpty Dumpty, and then you have to be very careful, because he has to be careful that it doesn't all just shatter, like if he bumps his head or a wind blows on it, or, you know,
he should just
sneezes.
Wrap it in vinegar and brown paper, I understand, is the treatment.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll bring some to the office, which you can take back.
Talking of there people who've broken their head, my cat.
Yes, we've been following that saga. In fact,
I'm sure. Even though you and I have yet to even discuss it, I felt your disdain.
Well, bizarrely, various members of my extended family gave you money.
Ugh,
ridiculous!
The only fundraiser in the world where I wrote, "Please don't give this fundraiser money" inside it.
This is where you are today, John. You used to be a successful businessman.
Yeah. Now I'm now begging on the internet.
You're begging. Begging for money for your cat.
Do you know what
the total for her bill
is so far?
The vet bill what?
The vet bill so far, as of this morning, £6,500.
Those vets are greedy. They're probably Jews.
That must be it. Oh, they've met them and they didn't look Jewy.
Oh, dear.
But that's how they get you, isn't it? That's how they sneak past with their prosthetic noses.
I was about to say they probably had a nose job. You got me.
Yeah.
Can you... So, summarise for the people who don't follow you in your tedious social media mores. Mm-hmm. So, she disappeared, she came back very poorly, and you have to fix her, correct?
So, she disappeared on the Thursday night. She's never done before, so they had this being Dexter.
She never disappears on Thursdays.
It's always been a Tuesday thing for Lucy.
Yeah.
So, Dexter used to go away for a couple of days at a time, and it was fine. And we'd go, oh, Egg, please come home, and then he would. And then eventually he didn't. Whereas Lucy has never ever been like, I think she has been, the longest she's been away for is a night. So she didn't come home Friday, and that was concerning. And then, nor Saturday. And then Sunday morning, Laura came home to find her on the doorstep, unable to move.
Oh dear.
So how she got home, we don't know. Where she'd been, we don't know. She was, obviously, that was the weekend before last, which was very, very hot in the southwest.
Yeah.
So she was dehydrated to the point of about to die.
Mm-hmm.
She hadn't drunk for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And couldn't move, and couldn't eat anything. So Laura took her to the vet, and then it became apparent she was extremely, about to die.
Right.
So she had a jaw broken in several places, the top of her skull is cracked, possibly broken ribs, but actually I think they ruled those out in the end. And then her tail, it was discovered, was about 4 or 5 centimetres detached from her body.
Right.
So at first they assumed RTA, because you tend to assume RTA when it's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But then nothing really, the evidence didn't seem to add up for that, and the vets eventually concluded that the way the tail was separated and the face smashed and nothing in between, that it was most likely that a human being did it to her.
Probably a Brexiteer, I would.
Probably, yes. Swung her by her tail, and, well, one vet referred to her being kicked in the face, but I can also see the idea that if you swung her by her tail and then smashed her face into something.
Yes.
Something similar could be achieved.
Yes.
So, yes.
But why didn't you immediately have her put down? I think I would have.
That was my assumption. Was that she's going to need to be put down. I was away for the weekend with Toby.
And let's be honest, you don't even really like her. So those two things... Those two things together, you say, you know, an entity that doesn't bring me a huge amount of pleasure and will probably live her whatever remaining life she has in some modicum of discomfort, I think it's time to do the humane thing.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. And when she was missing, my thought was a housemate I didn't really like has moved out.
Yes.
I wasn't really devastated that she was gone.
Like Dexter.
Exactly. The act of her coming home at such enormous effort really, really changed that for me. That has a very powerful emotive effect, that she fought that hard to get back to this house. And I was like, I feel a great weight of responsibility now. I still assumed that she was going to have to be put down. Unfortunately, Toby and I were away that weekend, so Laura had to deal with this all on her own. Fortunately, the wonderful Uncle Stu swept into action and helped her out.
Oh, by which you mean the dangerous Nazis, provocateur Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, good.
Who was recently on Russia Today with Alex Salmond. Stu and I don't agree with all matters.
But you do share a love of a rubbish cat.
Is this true? And obviously Toby adores her and she adores Toby, and that's another big factor in the in all of this. So anyway, the vets said she's very, very ill and she might not make it, but there is a chance that she'll make a full recovery. And so when that's the case, you can't say, just put her down, this will be an inconvenient couple of weeks for us. So of course we couldn't have her put down. Plus she was being friendly and affectionate, which is very unusual for a cat. Unusual for her to start with, and unusual for a cat in her state. So there were signs that there's a cat that's alive in there. When we went to visit her, she was very excited to see us, and she was very positive, even though she was very high on heroines. Stop banging and crashing, please.
No, I'm so excited about hearing about this.
Anyway, so she's had multiple surgeries, and she is coming home today.
Right, but why was it so expensive?
Because, most of all, she's been in there for 2 weeks, and is that 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I forget. And that costs a lot of money, plus multiple procedures, plus all the drugs, plus You know, there's 24-hour care for her. The night vets are looking after her at night time, and the day vets in the daytime. It's outrageous, really.
So I presume that if you'd not had a GoFundMe, or you hadn't, or you'd been just a normal poor person in a council estate, they would have just killed her.
I think she would have had to have been put down, because there wouldn't have been money there.
Hmm.
And the fact is, I don't have a job right now. I don't have money coming in, and I don't really losing that much of our savings, which I meant to keep us going while I tried to make a new job for myself, would have been really hard. And it would have been so hard to justify. That's a lot. Spending, we're at 6.5. It's probably going to go over, at least over 7, because we've got to go on multiple appointments yet to come.
Hmm.
2.5 of that is covered by insurance, and then the GoFundMe covers the rest.
Why do you have such terrible insurance?
Oh, we have a bog standard pet insurance, covers for £2,500 a year. Couldn't imagine a situation where she would cost more than that.
No, nor could I.
Like a broken leg costs less than that for a vet to fix. It seemed a very sensible amount of insurance to have.
I mean, I quite like Finch the cat, but I'm letting her know right now that if it goes above her, if it goes above a couple of grand, she's out of here.
It's so tricky, isn't it? Because I think it's a massive amount of money to waste on a cat. It's just, it's silly.
It is very silly, yes.
But at the same time, when it's your pet cat and she is loved, especially by Toby, you can't just go, oh, I'll kill it because it's inconvenient to me. Like, what's the amount of money where I say her life is no longer important to me? But then at the same time, how
about
often do I...
I'd say about £20,000.
Yeah, fair enough. But how often do I tread on an ant? So, you know, there's... I find myself really tied up about this, which is why I was very explicit in... I wanted to be very explicit in when we did the GoFundMe, to say, firstly, she's not the world's greatest cat.
No, she isn't. You can't pretend she is suddenly.
It's not, we're not saving this cat that is keeping a cancer patient alive or something.
Yes.
And also that I really, really genuinely believe if you've got money to give to a charity, you should give it to charities that help humans, not animals. And so I couldn't in good conscience not say that in the thing. But people
let's be charitable and say, if you're going to give money to a charity, give it to a charity that will help lots of animals, like protect some habitat somewhere, save an ecosystem. Yeah.
Absolutely. But people have been astoundingly generous.
I mean, if you think about it, Lucy's death would probably mean the protection and the ending of a lot of suffering for a lot of little animals.
It's a lot of other animals who vets aren't ever going to care for that Lucy is.
Yes. So vet users are saying, give me money so that lots of small creatures can suffer terribly.
I didn't want to
see what you've done.
I didn't want to put it in those words, but that was the motivation.
Yes.
Fortunately, she's such a rubbish cat that she kills very little.
Isn't utilitarianism funny?
Yeah. I found this whole thing to be much of a quandary.
Hmm. And I don't remember No False Modesty and all that, bearing in mind the sort of soppy, irrational, emotivist people who follow you, and also the fact that they're mostly without a partner and without children, and they just spend their money on games and are looking for things to give their shameful lives any sort of meaning.
You probably
did assume that you would actually make the money, didn't you?
No, not the 5,000.
Really?
I put it up to 5,000, and I really hoped that a couple of grand would come in. That's what I was really hopeful for. A couple of grand came in the first hour. I had no expectation of that whatsoever. A lot of people giving money because they genuinely, they're leaving messages saying, I like animals more than humans, so I want to give this money, which I find very sad for them, because obviously that means humans have been awful to them, and that's rubbish. And so these are people who are going to give their money to an animal charity before any human charity.
Or they just hate themselves. They have such low esteem that they hate that category of entity that they belong to.
Let's hope not. I don't want that to be the case. And a lot of people said really nice things, that they've been enjoying my work for many years, essentially for free. And so they gave me some money because it felt like a nice exchange. And that was really touching.
It was touching. But on the other hand, if you'd have known that you had this once in a lifetime attempt thing to play that card, and you've now played it for Lucy.
Yes, I keep thinking about that. Like, I've got all these ideas that I want to... what's the thing? The Patreon.
Yes.
I want to Patreon a bunch of different projects, and now I really feel like I've exhausted all that goodwill and wasted it on the cat.
And when she gets better and she's kind of trundling around the house or is annoying or something, just look at her.
Just being as awful as ever.
It's like a kind of Roald Dahl story, isn't it? That she'll just stare at you and there'll be a little smirk on her face saying, I was put on this planet to remove that opportunity from you or something. Wonderful. Ugh. I mean, does Toby know what is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows every detail.
And what?
Also, that's not true. He doesn't know that she was probably beaten by a human.
Yeah,
he doesn't know that either. Don't need him to know that that's a thing that humans can do.
No. And what did Laura think when the money started coming in? Was she surprised?
Yeah, surprised and very pleased. I mean, it makes such a massive difference to us. I think, you know, a year ago when I had a proper job, then this would have been unacceptable behaviour. But yeah, and I'm I don't deserve it, obviously. But
does the vet know?
Yes.
And what do they think?
They
must be surprised.
Some have been concerned. They were like, woohoo, we can charge what we like. But this vet practice, I've just been absolutely delighted by them. They genuinely seem to care about animals and they've gone above and beyond. And they've worked out ways to do things cheaper for us when they can and so on. So they've been brilliant.
Okay. I mean, I suppose it could be worse then.
It could, yes, in many ways. But anyway, so she's going to come home today. We're going to have to, obviously, she's going to live in a cage for a while. She's going to hate.
Yes. Yes. She'll chew through it.
She's just going to be awful.
Talking about awful and hate, am I correct that Tobias joins real school in September?
Yes, he does.
Gosh, have you got his little school uniform?
No.
Why not?
Because his school doesn't have a school uniform.
Oh, bunch of crazy,
yeah, hippie and mad people. Actually, it's the school where they do everything evidence-based. So there's...
Oh, you mentioned that before, yeah,
they don't. There's no evidence that uniforms at primary level make a difference to... in terms of school pride or any of these arguments. And there's also no evidence at that level that they're dressing up to impress each other and wasting money because, you know, there isn't evidence to support that. While I would argue, I imagine some people anecdotally would say, well, actually, my 9-year-old daughter does feel the pressure, etc. They are arguing otherwise.
Let's be honest, they're barely sentient.
This is true. It's not true. It's really frightening how sentient he is.
Well, he gives the appearance of being like Data the android.
He does?
Yeah, it's just clever programming.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
So you're saying he's a high-functioning sociopath?
Well, no.
Or are you saying all children are high-functioning sociopaths?
Most of them are to a degree, but that's not fair because they do feel emotions very intently. They just feel them very quickly and wrongly.
Sure, but also isn't a part of sociopathy the inability to accept that other people are experiencing emotions rather than not experiencing for yourself?
A lack of empathy, I guess, to a degree. It's a debate, isn't it? And the mirror neurons aren't functioning properly, I'd imagine, yes.
That's certainly the case in all preschoolers.
Yes, so there you go. He is a sociopath.
There we go. Yeah, so he's going to be starting his hippie school in September, like a big grown-up child.
Did he appreciate the fact that you'd flown across a very, very big ocean and were in a different land? I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, well, it's like I've taken a bus.
He found it ridiculously exciting that it had been done, especially because of the time difference. He would, on a number of times a day, demand that I tell him what time it is at home in Canesham, at the moment, in the country of Canesham.
Was this the first time that he will have been conscious of and remember an aeroplane journey?
Yes, I think so. He's mostly flushed three and backwards. Although sometimes out of nowhere he will remember a thing that he did when he was two or three in meticulous detail, which we cannot fathom.
No, but what's really interesting about that is, and Judith had the same thing, is in 2 or 3 years' time he won't remember those things at all.
Yes.
In other words, and he won't remember remembering them.
Well, I remember another thing when he was 18 months old and he learnt the entire alphabet. And yes. I boasted to you that this was, you know, a joke. I sincerely and without any humour boasted to you that my son was clearly a genius of the age.
Yes, yes.
But you said to me, I said, look, he's done this, it's crazy. And you said, oh, that'll be gone soon. And I was like, how can it? And yeah, by the time he was two, he didn't know any of the alphabet. And now at the age of four, we're still painstakingly trying to teach it to him.
Well, exactly the same thing. She knew all of the planets in order and which was the closest to the sun. And she even, as I told you at the time, she was 18 months and we were all, actually happened to be on a ship and they were doing a quiz. And they said, and the quiz master, and we just happened to have her there. Mm-hmm. And the quiz master happened to say, which planet is closest to the sun? And 18-month-old Judith shouted out Mercury. And she invalidated the quiz question. Now, when that happens, you are utterly certain that you basically got a genius. But she, if I asked her today to name any planet, she probably couldn't.
So. Turns out she's just a common or garden idiot.
Yeah. It turns out that there's a period between sort of 1.5 and 2.5 where your children are geniuses and then they lose it.
I wonder if there is a way to harness it, whether you probably have to do like a crazy violin parent and force them to practice every 4 hours every day from the age of 18 months. And then maybe we should, their alphabet.
I know what we should do. We should just go to a play centre and get a bunch of those toddlers together and they can sort out Brexit.
Perfect. And climate change.
Yes. They could just sort it out right then and there.
Yes. Perfect.
Oh, by the way, is Theresa May still the Prime Minister?
We've already done that joke this episode.
No, but I forgot. Is she?
Yeah. Yes, but no.
I mean, what on earth must it be like to be her at the moment? Ridiculous.
Ugh.
Such a stalemate.
Apparently that private eye cover really, really upset her, which is wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Do you know what I really love about Seamus Milne?
I imagine it's a long list.
No, I've just got a picture of him at the moment.
Oh, that one on the BBC News.
What I love about him is that he has the common decency to look bloody evil. Isn't it good?
Yes, he does. You're right.
You know, he doesn't look like... Sometimes you get a bit confused. Like, you see a picture of somebody who's really cuddly and then you learn out that they were a dictator or an axe murderer or something. But he looks exactly how Seamus Milne should look.
Yes.
And I love that.
Whereas I think Jenny Formby, she looks like a friendly therapist. Like, she should be a nice counsellor who sits down and asks you how your day's been.
Not quite therapist. I think maybe...
She looks an awful lot like a therapist I used to have. So that's my very specific for me.
I mean, I think she looks like somebody who works as a coordinator in a primary school. She's not actually a teacher because she doesn't really like children, but she works in a primary school.
I'm very disappointed to note that the BBC has changed its introduction of the story of Tommy Robinson's going to prison. The original draft of the breaking news story read Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, known as Tommy Robinson, jailed for 9 months. Now the Stephen Laxey Yeller has been just stripped from the story. They actually called him by his real name for once.
No, because I think they realised that actually, and I've seen this before and I've heard people say why they do that. I think they say they could be entering territory they don't want to enter if they decide how people identify rather than the people themselves. So, no, sorry, you can't do that. Even if you don't like the person, you have to go by their name. Otherwise, you know, it's Walter Carlos, not Wendy, etc.
Right.
So, no, he is indeed Tommy Robinson.
He identifies as working class.
Indeed. So, that's it for your holidays then, I presume?
We're going on a nice cheap holiday to the New Forest in August.
Well, now you're on, you've got all that swimming in cat money.
Exactly. Well, I was thinking about stuff the cat. I've got enough for a really nice cruise here.
Literally stuff the cat.
Yes, literally. I could stuff the cat and go for a cruise on this money.
So what are you doing in the New Forest?
So when really I were acceptable? A wee boy, my mummy and daddy didn't have any money. And so we would always go on holiday. Every single holiday break, we went to this cottage that my grandma owned in the New Forest.
Oh, yes, yes. You mentioned her once before, this grandma, yeah.
Sure, and my dad would do the gardening. But they were always just... brilliant holidays. Burley in the New Forest is a very quaint little village with wild ponies trotting around the pavements. The favourite story of Toby's being that, and I tell him that when Auntie Cat was sat having an ice cream when she was a little girl and a pony walked up behind and chomped the whole thing in one mouthful and she cried and cried and we all laughed at her. Oh, it's a good time.
She grabbed the pony by the tail, swung it around and smashed it into a wall.
And so it's a lovely place and there's a nice beach called Mudderford that I always used to go to. And so I'm essentially trying to recreate my own family holiday to force that happiness on Toby.
Oh,
it definitely will go right.
Yes, I can't think of any problems that might engender.
What I was really hoping was that the cottage, by some magic coincidence, the cottage we used to stay in would be an Airbnb now, but tragically it's not.
That is a shame, isn't it?
So we found a different Airbnb in the locale. Burley is the birthplace of Wicca.
Is it?
Yeah, Aleister Crowley lived there when he created all that nonsense.
Will you be participating in any rituals?
Well, what I didn't notice as a child, and I really do feel like I've said this before many years ago on the podcast, but there is
nobody listens.
10 years of this rubbish and no one listens.
Exactly, and the one guy who does, he had his head smashed.
He's probably forgotten most of it by now.
Maybe he was picked up by the tail and swung around.
Well, see if he has a tail. If there's no tail, then you have proof.
I don't think I know him well enough to check his tail.
Okay, Lucy had her tail amputated yesterday.
But she had most of it amputated anyway before.
She had the top half chopped off. Now she's had the bottom half chopped off.
Okay, very good.
Idiot cat. Anyway, as a child, my parents somehow steered us around the witchcraft-themed village. So we never really noticed all that. But if you go there now, it's got a lot worse in terms of just a lot of charlatans running crystal healing nonsense type things all over the place there.
I want to make you... You must bring back a crystal.
Toby is really into his cheap precious stones.
Oh, that's so good, because you can get some real cheap tab.
Yeah, but these ones will heal him in magic ways. I heard on the You and Yours the other day that the magic crystals are quite popular at the moment. Apparently Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop and others are grinding up crystals and putting them into their powders and potions
magical
healing properties.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that some of these crystals could have things like, I don't know, arsenic in them. That's a clever thing to do.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I just like bits of scrapey broken stone in your face cream. Sounds like a brilliant plan.
Well, yeah, and they found out that some of the talc and so on in this face cream, the snoky broken stone, was this little mineral called asbestos. Yeah,
oh, that's the one.
Good job.
And it turns out most of these crystals are being mined as part of revolting slave trades and so on.
Oh yeah, but that nobody cares about that.
Especially not Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, I must make very clear, I mean, I've made it clear before, but I'm going to have to make it clear because of the blooming Cancer Research UK's posters. You know where they say obesity causes cancer too? No, it does not. That which causes obesity also causes cancer. So stop your nonsense, Cancer Research UK.
I think you'll find, according to the front page of the... let me find the right one. One of the Daily Mail. One glass of juice a day raises risk of cancer.
Ugh, I'm so annoyed about epidemiology. As you know, even when it agrees with me, I avoid all epidemiology, so I shall avoid this entirely. It's a load of rubbish.
Well, they wouldn't be allowed to put it on the front page if it weren't true.
Correct.
Similarly, on the front page of the Daily Star today, Robbie, as in Robbie Williams, evil ghost drove me to brink of suicide.
They wouldn't put that on the front page if it weren't
exactly
true. Exactly. I think that Robbie Williams' evil ghost really should be dealt with, and it sounds like a menace to society.
Apparently he became almost suicidal, which is a really interesting state of mind to be in.
What does it mean to be almost suicidal?
Alive, I imagine. Yes. He became almost suicidal over ghosts. According to the paper, the singer claimed that they messed with his hair and sat beside him when he drove his car.
That would drive me to be almost
suicidal. That's right, I'd be almost. I wouldn't be suicidal, but I would be almost suicidal if someone kept messing with my hair.
I mean, assuming the whole thing isn't made up completely, what this article really is saying is that somebody has been discovered that they're schizophrenic.
Oh, I do hope Robbie Williams... No, this is happening to Robbie Williams. It's not his ghost, because he's alive. It's not Robin Williams.
No, I know it's not... I presume it's not Robbie Williams' ghost. I presume it's somebody else.
It's Robbie Williams is being haunted by an evil ghost.
Oh,
yes.
Robbie Williams himself?
Yes.
Okay, so what they're basically saying, Robbie Williams probably has clinical schizophrenia, yes?
Or maybe it's just a lot of stress, which seems more likely.
There's a lot of stress and
mental health issues.
There's a genuine belief that you're hearing voices and you have presences sitting next to you and messing you up when there aren't. I mean, that's schizophrenia.
The Daily Star is obviously a revolting newspaper for multiple reasons, but I do appreciate that its front page very often features stories about evil ghost-faced children or ghost children with evil eyes or stories about giant rats and giant sharks. And just they just put made-up nonsense on the front page. It's quite fun.
But it used to be the sport used to do that. And now, and the Daily Star still had a pretense of being a modicum of a newspaper, and I suppose that's now descended a couple of rungs each.
My understanding is that the Sport isn't daily anymore. I think that's right. I think it comes out twice a week or something, and the front page is just a picture of some boobies.
Well, fair enough. I mean, they're going to corner that market now that the Sun doesn't do it anymore.
And then the Star, yes, has sort of slipped down to fill that space.
Oh, my goodness. Renowned pedo, Rupert Murdoch is still alive. Isn't that amazing?
I would like to say, for the interest of balance, that he is not a paedophile.
But isn't it amazing he's still alive?
He's 88 years old and is apparently buying £60 million worth of shares in his own companies by mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
He accidentally bought £60 million of his own shares and then sold them again the same day.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. He's got that power. At 88, he's obviously not all there, and he's got that power to be able to spend that kind of money by mistake.
That is just unbelievably ridiculous. I believe he's still there. Isn't that funny? Anybody else who should be dead?
There are many people who should be dead that are still alive.
Robert Mugabe, for example.
I thought he died.
No, Robert Mugabe didn't die.
Really?
The Lord is looking after him just fine.
Goodness gracious me. There was someone I noticed the other day who's still alive who shouldn't be. Also, there's someone who's older than they should be. Frank Skinner, 62 years old.
Oh, that's silly.
That's not okay.
It's funny, last time we talked, Doris Day was alive and I mused on that. Now she's dead, so it's my fault.
Sorry, you should say sorry to her family.
Sorry, Doris's family. Doris would have given you a lot of money for the cat. She loved her animals.
Would she? Oh, man.
Pity.
I'm going to Google oldest celebrities.
Oh, no, I found there's somebody who's 100 and something who was in Gone with the Wind who's still whining about intellectual property and trying to sue people, which made me happy.
Kirk Douglas is 100.
That's silly, isn't it?
That is silly.
What about Nicholas
Parsons?
Yes.
He's still going and he's just as good at Just a Minute as he has been for the last 30 years, which is to say not very.
I haven't listened to Just a Minute for ages because I just worry.
Do you not think they wouldn't put it out if he died mid-episode?
No, but it's just, you know, I worry it'll turn into cruelty because there'll be basically a man going senile and they'll just kind of have him there anyway. It gets very awkward. You know, you sometimes see old celebrities brought out or interviewed or told to do a turn or sing or something and you realise they're not all there and it's really bad and
awkward. Like any time you see What's-His-Face from off of the Beach Boys.
Madonna.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The oldest, someone called Judy Gibson, is 104.
Lovely.
She was in movies like Chick Carter Detective and Bowery Buckaroos.
Bowery Buckaroos. You don't have films called that anymore, do you? What was the last film you saw in the cinema?
I think it was probably Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I haven't seen very. There must be something worth going to see.
Well, the next one I'm going to see in the cinema is Spidey Pops.
Really?
I love Spider-Man.
Well, you're a bit of a mug then, aren't you? You'll just have stuff force-fed to you all the time.
I will, because if it's got Spider-Man in it, I'll go see it, no matter how bad it is. And apparently it's quite good.
Yeah. Actually, I took Judith to see the Spider-Verse thing, and the art in that was very good. I enjoyed the art in that.
I took Toby to see that, and it was great.
It was like actually being in a comic book.
Do you know what movie has not had enough credit for being nearly as good at, or maybe even slightly better in some ways than Spider-Verse? Is Teen Titans Go to the Movies. There's a TV show called Teen Titans Go, which is based on the DC Teen Titans characters. Mm-hmm. And it's a cartoon for kids. And I went to see the movie because it was on, but often most of the times I see things at the cinema with Toby because they're there.
Yes, yes.
And we went to see this, and it was properly fantastic. It was, it had one of the last cameos from Stan Lee, despite being a DC movie. It had Deadpool showing up regularly, which was really strange. They managed to break loads of the Marvel DC rules, and it was incredibly funny.
Yes.
My footstool's broken. There we go, Spidey Pops Far From Home. That's on at the cinema right now.
Oh. Okay, well, there you go.
I saw Toy Story 4 with Toby. Actually, movies I saw with Toby, the last one was Toy Story 4.
No spoilers. Any good?
It's, well, I can tell you a spoiler. Toy Story 1. It's fine. It's fine. I don't think Toy Story is a very good film. I think it's quite enough.
That's not fair.
I think it is fair. I watched it for the first time in my life last year, and I found it to be... the animation is atrocious now, which is fair enough. It was a long time ago. It looks like Toy Story now. Toy Story then looks like Christian animated movies look now. But the plot was awful, and this awful, horrible bit about the broken toys by the kid next door, and it's really nastily scary for no reason. And
no, then you're wrong. You just want everything to be sappy.
I'm quite happy for things to be unsappy. Anyway, I thought, and it was horribly sappy.
Sappy.
I haven't seen 2 and 3, but 4 just seemed to be the same plot again, which was fine, and it was done well enough, but it was quite boring.
Shall we end with my reading out an XKCD?
Oh, no. I haven't even... Do you know, someone mentioned that to me for the first time in something like 2 years. I forgot it even existed.
This is quite good, though, actually. So there's a bloke talking to a lady, and the bloke says, "Oh, hey, you organised our photo archive." And then she says, "Yeah, I trained a neural net to sort the unlabeled photos into categories." And he goes, "Whoa, nice work." And then the caption is, "Engineering tip. When you do a task by hand, you can technically say you trained a neural net to do it."
Yeah.
That's
I don't imagine that it benefited from the being told out loud, but I don't imagine it gained a lot from the not.
Do you want to hear what the tooltip says, which is the second punchline?
Oh, I really do. I hope it's slightly bitter.
Let's see what it says. Tooltip just disappeared. I have to wobble my mouse again. It also works for anything you teach someone else to do. Quote, "Oh yeah, I trained a pair of neural nets, Emily and Kevin, to respond to support tickets."
Yeah, it is slightly bitter.
It's really good.
It's not.
I think you're unfair.
It is
somebody
not.
Who's done this for so many times. And also, be fair. He always is very, very careful to draw the brainy nerd geek one as a girl with a ponytail to show that he's equal opportunities. So you should be very happy. He was woke before all your friends were.
I feel really chastised by him when he does that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, shall we say goodbye?
No. It's come to an abrupt halt.